Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, chapters 8 and 9, most of you know, is where Paul is exhorting the church at Corinth. He's trying to raising money for the saints at Jerusalem. There has been a famine in the land, and in addition, these Jewish Christians, people that had gotten born again out of the Jewish faith, they're suffering persecution. Some of them, their parents have disowned them. They have mock funerals. Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you're no son of mine. And they've been disinherited. Plus, on top of that, they were excluded from the best jobs. Sometimes you couldn't attend a university. It was really bad. So, compounded by a famine in the land, they're in really dire straits. They're in trouble. So, what Paul is doing, he's sending letters to the churches where he's gone, and we know this one is he sent a letter here to the Corinthians, and it's basically an appeal letter. He's raising money in order to alleviate the suffering in Jerusalem. All right, so Alice here, so he's going to represent you're where famine is. Okay, this is where she represents the suffering people that they're in need. They're in real trouble. All right, Julie represents the church at Corinth, and they're the ones receiving the letter. Okay? Now, just stay there for a moment. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's pick it up here in, verse 16 of chapter 8. And Paul writes, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind." And the reason that they're doing it this way, you notice Paul is sending Titus with somebody else who is a witness. Why? Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. He's giving credentials of these men that he sent. Wherefore, show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. So you got the picture? So I need a couple of, John, you and my friend here, come, you know, there's Titus, I don't know which one's Titus, one of you's Titus, one of us is other brother. You'll be the other brother. We don't know the name of the other brother. The way he talks about him there, it's like you should already know who he is, but I don't know who he is. And so you guys have come, and you're basically coming to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth has prepared an offering, and they've gathered up from among the flock. They've put aside a portion the first of every week, if you've read the chapter. And so when the brothers come, now I've got to stay up here. It's important that you realize if I get to do the speaking, I get to be Paul. I'm the guy who sent the letter. All right, so everybody's doing according to the letter. Come and receive the offering from the Corinthians. And then these two guys, they're going to take that offering over to the saints at Jerusalem. And when they receive it, they're happy. And these born-again Jewish people, see, God's really accomplishing more than one thing here. During this time in history, there was a little distrust between the Jewish Christian and these swine-eating Gentiles. They were just not really sure that they were really accepted of God. And Paul plainly says there, he said, look, this gift is going to go a long way in helping them understand that you really do genuinely love them and care for them, and that your conversion to God is genuine. So it was not only alleviating suffering, but it was also helping to break down that wall of partition between the two. All right, now you guys can go right over here again. In fact, actually, we're done with you guys. Sit down. Okay. No, not you, Julie. Not you. I need you. Now, trouble of it is, Paul just didn't know how to do it. That's not how you do it. When someone is in need, it's a shame that Paul didn't know how to get God to meet their need. You don't write a, well, actually you do write a letter to the Corinth. We'll get to that one second. But the first people that you turn to is, my sister, are you in need? What you need to do is sow your best seed to meet your need. And really where you should sow it is in a proven ministry that's already been established. Oh, perhaps mine would be a good place to send your offering. Thank you, thank you. Now you can trust God to meet your need. And at the same time, you send a letter to the Corinthians and everybody else on your mailing list. Oh, don't you know about the suffering of your brethren? And after about 3 pages of guilt, look how well God is blessing you and look at your abundance and you're just going to sit there while your brethren. What you should do is you need to supply, help the supply. And here would probably be the most efficient way of doing that. Here, you need an offering to send. Probably the most efficient way of doing that, well, you can just send your finances here to this ministry. We can be trusted. You can trust us. We will give a port. We'll give a portion to them. Oh, see how you've been blessed. I call this giving turned upside down. How the modern church has perverted the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Be delivered, my friends. Please be delivered. See what's going on for what it is. Paul, not only did he not want one penny, not farthing, whatever they had. He didn't want any of it passing through his hands at all. Just if for no other reason that the ministry could not be blamed. So he sent a person to do it with a witness or two witnesses, and the money never even came to him at all. It just went directly from those who had it to those who needed it. That's the heart of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, you can give them a hand. Did they do good or what? Hallelujah. Listen, what God is after? God is after compassionate hearts. I know when Sue and I first got saved, nobody had to teach us to give. I'm telling you, with the new nature comes a giving nature. Because that's God's nature. And I mean, all we had to, we just got an inkling that somebody that, especially if they were in our little group that we knew of that got saved, and if we found out there was a need of any kind, it was our joy to meet that need. And the little guy that led us, it would represent, you know, Evangelistic Association, but it was really just a little guy named Michael Muccio. Man, if we found out that he had some kind of lack or some kind of need, I mean, I remember one time we got in the car and drove clear across town just to take him a little check because we found out there was some kind of a need. And nobody, there was not a thought of hundredfold return, anything like that. It was a joy to be able to meet a need. And that is the heart of your Father. Now, when we give tonight, we're not giving, notice I'm not promising you a hundredfold return. We're not promising you anything like that. You know what we are promising you? This ministry is promising to be good stewards of what you put in there. It's going to get Dave's book into the hands of people that need it. It's going to send this live webcast around the world. It's going to send books and tapes and by every means available, going to send the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. A marriage is going to be put back together. Somebody is going to be put back in their right mind. Glory to God. I only know 2 ways to give in the New Testament. Now, one is as the Lord's steward. He really has no hands but the hands of his body to give into any offering. So Sue and I always listen, you know, and if he says an amount he'd like for us to give, then that's what we do. And then the other New Testament way, let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. Because God wants it from the heart, not by law. Amen? So just bow your head for a moment, and I'll lead you in a prayer. Now, First of all, Father, this is the time, and I know you have many people here that are, that Lord, they've got themselves in training on purpose to hear your voice, to be your steward in the earth regarding finances. They're listening, Lord. If you have an amount you'd like for them individually to give, Lord, this is the time. And what you say, that I know that's what they'll do. Then if you're listening and you say, Gary, well, I'm listening, but I just don't hear him saying anything, then you have the privilege of giving out of your own heart. What is it you'd like to give? What makes your heart happy to give tonight? And that's what you should do.